Leslie Weatherhead made a statement. Here was his statement. This phrase has been used more loosely and has caused more confusion than any other statement concerning the Word of God. The statement is, it's God's will. From the Crusade to our present time, from the time that they burnt children in the fires as a sacrifice to God, to the time when they hunted down witches to burn them at the stake, in our present day of suffering with cancer, heart trouble, and AIDS, with sorrow on every hand, we still hear those words, it's the will of God. I want you to know that God chose that in this era of time that I've been born, and I'm glad that I have been. But today I'm here to say to you that I believe with all my heart that murdering and lying and stealing and cancer and heart trouble and AIDS and all the sorrows in the world are not the will of God. It's God's will. It must come to pass. But I want to say to you, my friend, that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. And that was not God's will either. Yes, He willingly died. He willingly came Himself, took on the form of man and died. But the reason that He died was because of the disobedience of man to God. And Christ dying on the cross was the effect of that. And so I do not feel today that it is God's will that people suffer these things, that people die in car accidents. Someone said not too long ago, I don't understand God. Why does God let this happen? My friend, when you look at 99% of all accidents, you'll find it's because of human error, not the will of God. We say that it's got to be within the permissive will of God. Yes, the permissive will, because man is free to make a choice. I was in the church the other day. A young boy in a blue car, don't know who he was. Started down by the Methodist church, and he was all over the road like some kind of a nut. Is it God's permissive will that that young man drive that fast and kill himself or someone else? No, human error. And we need to come to the focal point of knowing what is God's will and what happens because of man's error. It is God's will that we love God. And so, when Jesus died on the cross, we thank Him. I thank Him from the bottom of my heart. But many times we thank Him because He was there because of that great love. But my friend, yes, He loved us. But He was there because that in the garden, man was disobedient to God. It's that simple. And that's why today we have many problems that we do today, because we're not in the will of God. Jesus said, when you pray, come to God like this and say, Our Father, Thy will be done. But He said something else. He said, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Who is on earth to do God's will but the people of God? And I guarantee I've never been there. But standing on the word of God, I say to you that God's will is perfectly done in heaven. And today we wonder why all that happens. I say to people, and they get kind of perturbed to me sometimes, get your life straightened out with God. And you'll find that a lot of these problems have taken away. The other day a lady said, I mended. She said, I don't know who it was. Maybe it was one of you. She said, I begin to hate God. I begin to be mad at God. I wonder what God was doing letting this happen. My friend, when we're flowing within the will of God, I want to tell you something. We might still have problems and heartache and cancer and heart trouble and AIDS and everything else. But I tell you that in the midst of it all for the family of God, God will see us through it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And these things are coming about because the will of God is not being done in the human race. When my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray And when they do that, then I, God, will hear from heaven and will heal their land. And I say to you that when we call upon God and America and the human race turn to do the will of God, we will see some changes in the world that we live in today. Amen. Yes, the willful disobedience of God put Christ on the cross. But what does Christ do? He brings us through hard times. Anybody here ever had any hard times? Oh, you have. Then you know what I'm talking about. I don't have to explain what hard times are. But I have heard so many say, and I've said so many times, oh, thank God that in the midst of all of this, He still cares. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He makes us strong in times of our weakness. There are times it's hard to go on. We begin to ask questions. In fact, many times, we begin to debate God of the wise and the how. But at our weakest point, when we realize that there's nothing left I can do, and I turn it over to the will of God, you know what? It seems like it just starts perking like the coffee pot. It's going to end. Why? Because God's able to take care of us. God draws us closer to Himself. Oh, how I wish I could get closer to God. No, you don't. There's no way could you wish you could get closer to God. Because God will draw you as close to Him as you let Him draw you. The Bible says, if you draw nigh to me, God said, I will draw nigh to you. And if there's a distance between us and God, it isn't because God has taken a journey or gone to some far place. It's because we have left God and the will of God out of our lives. Put God in your life, and I'll tell you, life will begin to bubble with aspiration and joy in serving God and living. Oh, it breaks my heart to hear folks say, I have nothing to live for. I'm going to kill myself. Well, if that's all life is, give an answer. But life is more than that. And I believe that Jesus said it to the disciples when they said to them, Lord, we want to talk to God, and we don't know how to talk to God. Will you tell us how to talk to God? And Jesus said, just say to God, our Heavenly Father, I want your will to be done in my life. If you read the Bible, you'll find that many of the disciples died because of the will of God being done in their life. What will God do? God will equip us to be ministers to someone else. You know, it's a great joy. I said the other day concerning it, of the teacher here that taught a little boy, and the little boy comes to Sunday school because of that. You know, that's got to be a great joy in the life of anyone to see someone sitting in a congregation like this and to be able to say, you know, I remember telling them about Jesus one day. And what a joy that is, and God gives that equipment. Past Sunday night, if you wasn't here, shame on you. You say, He always says it. I'm going to say it because this church belongs here Sunday night. I don't know what you think about it, but let me tell you what you missed. Amen. You always miss something when you're not in the house of God. After the service Sunday night, the choir come to sing, and a young man left. But you know, as I sat back there talking, I believe to Lester, or was talking to someone, this young fellow came back into the church and sat down next beside me, and in his eyes was some tears. And when I asked him, what's your problem? He said, I need to know Jesus. I need to know Jesus. I said to him, why? How do you know? He said that something or someone was speaking in his heart. He needed to know Jesus. I said, let's take care of it. And we come up and take care of that situation. And there was peace. There was a fire. There was serenity in the house of God. I worked with the young man, and we prayed together. And last Sunday night here, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. You know, I want to tell you something, my friend. I thought the whole church had walked out. I read it. You could have heard a pin drop. But I want to tell you, as your pastor, that when I rose to my feet and looked around, the church was still here. I know they were praying, I know they were waiting for this young man to give his life to Jesus. And this morning, he's here, and probably, if the Lord leads that way, he will present himself for baptism. But last Sunday night, young Gary Upton accepted Jesus as Savior. Now, he won't mind me saying this, and if he does, I'll whip him afterward. But when he came forward, there are a lot of things went through my mind. And I remember one time, some way back, when I was trying to talk to Gary about God and church. Let me tell you this. It was a surprise to me when he came and sat down last Sunday night, because I thought, see, this is what you do when humans think. I thought it would be a long, long time before he ever came to the Lord, because he had his mind set against church and God back then. But he just started coming one Sunday, and I want to tell you what. Jesus said, my word will not return to me void. Now, what does our scripture call upon God and say, Father, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in my life. But there's one thing about God. It is never within the will of God to make failures and robbers and murderers and handicapped out of us. I've said so many times, and it seems like we don't get the message. I see so many times your children are sick and dying, and children are handicapped, and people have cancer and heart trouble and other diseases, and it's all because of sin. Amen? No, I don't mean you sin. I mean, if it hadn't been for that sin, by the disobedience of one man, all become disobedient. If it hadn't been for that sin in the garden, there would be no cancer sickness today. You know what we need to do as a church, as Christians? We need to get mad at sin and work against it. We're not doing it so good. We're not out telling the world what needs to be told. Thy will be done. And you know what? I'm no different, and you're no different than Jesus. And you know, he fought that battle one day. In Matthew chapter 26, we see him going to prayer to God. And he prays to God. And he goes to God the second time, and he calls upon God. And again, he goes the third time to God, and he calls upon God. And you know what he says? Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But he reserved himself that he must go to Calvary. And you know what he said? But not my will, but thine be done. My friend, every child of God has a battle to fight. And that battle is simply the battle that each of us will be able to put our lives and trust them completely into the hands of God. Not a portion proportionately, but trusting him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. And that's the issue today that I'm here to say to us. It's the issue that has been since the time of man. And that issue is this, in my personal life and in the life of each of you. Will it be God's will in my life? Or will it be my will in my life? Two men sitting outside the gate of the city of refuge. And they said there so long they was almost to die. And as they were sitting there, I did not know what was running through their mind, but finally one of them looked at the other and he said something like this. Hey, why are we sitting here dying? Then what a question. It's a good question, isn't it? What are we sitting here dying for? And the guy thought himself, and he said, well, if we sit here, we're going to die. We're going to starve death. I mean, that's just a known fact. We're going to die. Now, he said, if we go into the city, They won't kill me. But I'd rather take the chance they'd kill me than come to eat before I die. Now, I'm paraphrasing, folks. And one of them said something like this, you know, they're in there afraid and they're hiding. And in camp right over here is an army. Why don't we kind of get on our bellies and kind of sneak up to this edge of this camp? And maybe while they're asleep, we could sneak in there and get us some food and live. They'll kill us. Well, but if you see, if we stay here, we die, we barter. Why don't we try? So, all right, let's try. I know we'll see it. Sneak in behind the woods. I hope there's a cattle salvation. Pretty soon, there's a ridge. That's where we fall on the ridge. Run away, fall on the ridge. Look here now. Crawl up the people. See how many of them are. Quietly crawls up the ridge. And he looks over. And lo and behold, to his astonishment, hey, you ain't gonna believe this. You ain't gonna believe it. Tell me what? What am I gonna believe? Ain't nobody there. Huh? Ain't nobody there. Nobody's there. Then he looked. They crawled up and looked. He said, there ain't nobody there. And they jumped up with joy and they run into the camp. For some reason, God had moved the army out. And there was all the food and all the supply. These two men, who could have had it all, after they had nourished themselves, went back to the city and told them, there was no army there, plenty of food for everyone, let's go get it. Why is that we hear that? He said, man, that's the thing what that has to do with. Let me ask you one question. And those two men stood outside and were debating in their minds what to do. Will of God begin to take precedence. God has driven off the army and in their mind had put the thought, let's go check it out. Well, I've got a question to ask us who are sitting outside the gate, and we've got problems, we've got heartache, we've got sickness, we've got sorrow. Why are we sitting here and dying? Why don't we turn our lives over to the will of God? If that's biblical, preacher, that's easy for you to say, yes, it is. And it's easy to do to turn your life over to the will of God if we'll just reserve to do it. You know, Jesus said, pray, thy will be done. When we pray sometime, we pray like Jesus taught them, thy will be endured. God doesn't expect us to endure his will. He expects us to have joy and peace and happiness within his will. I married a couple yesterday, and after the service I said to them, let me tell you something, and I pray you'll still love me. Your life and your home won't be worth much if you do not make Christ the heavens. You know what they said? We know that. But they never darkened the door of God's house. My friend, many things are happening today because we're not in the will of God. And how saddened God must be. Because we're afraid to get in God's will, because we think he might interfere with our life. If you're here today and lost and haven't followed God, your life's not dedicated, you know he doesn't interfere. And I'll tell you what he will do. When I decide to pray from the depth of my heart, thy will be done, he'll help me. But he will never interfere with your life and my life. And sometimes we say thy will be done like it's an epitaph on a tombstone somewhere. You know, there's one thing, I've said it before and I'm going to say it to you today. And you husbands and wives, believe this. I believe my wife loves me with all the heart. I really do. If I didn't, I'd just go to bed and not eat more. I want to tell you something that's the truth, and you can answer it. God is before me in your life. You know what? I'm not a bit jealous. Because that's the way it has to be. We have got to be within the will of God, and no one can take God's place, regardless of who that it is. The Bible says that God loved us so much that He gave His Son that we would not perish. And you know what? Bless His heart, He didn't even wait till I was able to receive it or till I had earned it. The Bible says, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Why shouldn't I do His will? Why shouldn't He be in charge of my life? You see, there's something about God, and we know it. When you love someone, when you really love someone, you will give them more of yourself and more of your time. Amen? And that's exactly what God done. He loved us so much that He gave Himself completely to us, and He is there at all times. The songwriter, He was there all the time, yes. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Is He waiting in line to get your attention? Is He waiting in line to have His will done in your life? I don't mean what you will you want Him to have. I mean the will He wants to have in each of our lives. Let me close. God is extravagant in His nature. He doesn't want us to hurt and be sorrowful. And when He supplies abundantly. Remember on a hillside, thousands of folks sitting there. And you know how He multiplied the food and He fed them all? That's great, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful that He was able to take those little fishes and those loaves and feed 5,000 men, not counting women? That's wonderful. But you know what's more wonderful? Listen. Not only did He feed thousands, when my Lord got them feeding them all, there was 12 bushels left. You see, He just doesn't do things to the minimal. God does things to the abundance. God doesn't want you to have life. God wants you to have life abundantly. God wants you to have more than you can even dream of having. And there's one thing that I found, and I pray you have. God's dreams, God's will, and God's concern are far better than mine. If I had listened to Howard Wise, I would still be living in a world of sin and a sinner. But praise God, a preacher said one time at the Kincaid Baptist Church that we need to give our lives to Jesus. And when I finally learned that His will had done in my life, I became the person I meant to be. I became the happy person that I wanted to be. God is not against us, He's for us. He's for our betterment, not our destruction. He died for our benefit, not His. And today I say to you, with all that is happening that's against God, and I'll throw it in, everybody else does, abortion, don't dare say it. That's the will of God. That's the will of man. God's will is that we have life and have it more abundantly. So when we say it's God's will, make sure that it is God's will. And the easiest way to know what God's will is, are you listening? Let God tell us what it is, and there'll be no mistakes. Amen? I pray today that if you don't know Christ, there'll be decision day in your life. You could die without Jesus.
and go to hell. Please don't let that happen. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved, you've died with Christ, you've never been buried with him in baptism. You need to do that today. Maybe you just need to pray and you say, "Preacher, you've done preached 30 minutes.
I might need another hour. That's up to God." I want to tell you what. It's well worth the time. You'll take it. So let the will of God be done to you. Are you willing to do that today, as Brother Wilson? Those who play the instruments of music.
As they're coming this morning, are you willing? Now listen. With no reservation, say to God today, "Thy will be done." If you can't say that today, you need to come to God, because his will must be done in our lives. This morning as we stand and as we sing, if God speaks to your heart to be saved, baptism, church membership, whatever it is, as we sing, would you come this morning?